It's a new day in the workroom, and we are talking about UK versus the world. It's the finale time, and I'm joined by the one and only Miss Taylor Trash. How are you keeping?
Hello, I'm mighty fine. Thank you ever so for inquiring after my well-being.
How?
And I just watched another pitch, Wear the Crown again. Yeah. So much fun watching everybody else win crowns.
So we bumped into each other at DragCon. You are a drag queen in London. What was it like to see your sisters compete on an international stage this season?
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, I do know all of them personally too. So to see them having their moment is just so great. You know, they've been working for so many years in the scene, and we've all been toiling away. So it's great to get them see their, you know, their return and have their second chance at the top. Mm.
I asked you when we were like DMing who you were rooting for coming into this finale, and I got a very pageant answer. So I'm going to ask you again, who were you like, if you were to pick one person that you're rooting for, who was it?
For the top four.
Well, no, for to win this episode, the one we watched.
Oh, so, but well, I mean, I have to say Miss Tia, because I've known Tia Coffey for many, many years, and she's a good friend of mine, and I love her so much. I don't really know Le Grand Dame. I don't know Marina. You know, I don't know Hannah Conda.
Okay.
I love them all.
All right. I mean, that makes sense.
But I love Miss Tia. I know her very well.
Well, I actually didn't know. I saw some like infographics on Instagram that Tia, if you know, they've been doing badges this season, but there's always been kind of like a top two in each episode. And if you like work out, people online have been working out this like point system based on safe and high, etc. So if you include all the wins that Tia didn't win, if that makes sense, she lip synced but she didn't get the badge. She actually had the best track record this season.
She did?
Yeah.
I don't know why I sound so surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised. Look, I think because Marina has three badges because she won three lip syncs, it felt like she was way in the lead. But actually, I think like Tia had been in the top just as many times as her, if not more.
I suppose so. It's done on, is it aggregate? Is that the right word? I'm trying to remember my horse betting day. And yeah, because, you know, Marina was in the bottom. Because it was that moment where if you're not in the top, you're in the bottom. So then she would have had that bottom ranking, which would probably have stood against her when they did the aggregation.
System. Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. So like Tia was in the top four times and safe three times, whereas Marina was only in the top two, three times. So yeah, I was actually surprised. And Hannah Conda had basically had the same track record as Marina as well. She did really well. So yeah, it really did feel like Marina was by far in the lead, but I mean, that all went up in the air this episode.
Well, I mean, you know, something that she can take away from this is that it really was her season, you know? If you look at her performance and some of the beautiful runways that she showcased, you know, it's such a skill, it's such a talent. I think that she really was a standout, you know? It goes about saying. And also, did you see how she's like this call me? I know they'll be calling her. They should get her on one of those like global all-stars or something like that, you know? And then she, you know, I mean, I've never obviously done Drag Race, but I've done drag competitions locally. And, you know, it's not always the winning that counts. You know, they have that losing is the new winning or whatever it is, like. And it really is, I think, because you can go away afterwards and you can define how you want to, you know, be perceived yourself and do it on your own terms, possibly without the weight of having a, you know, a crown and a lovely rhinestone scepter.
Mm. Exactly. I mean, we were speaking to Janie JK on the podcast, and she was saying how Jujubee's mantra was always to never win, because then you can always be asked back, whereas once
That's
you
it.
Won... I mean, now we have all That's winners, it. I guess. But, you know, once you've won, your story ends.
That's it. Unless they do another winners season, that would be cool.
That would be cool. For sure. And I mean, there's lots of winners that they can add into it. okay, so let's jump into the top of the episode. A bit of a interesting format change this episode. It was kind of like, here's the bit from last week, here's the reunion, here's the finale all in an hour. But I actually kind of liked it. Were you surprised to see that Tia had also chosen to eliminate Scarlett, or did you think she was maybe going to go for like a Marina or a La Grande Dame?
Oof. I mean, in that moment, I feel like it would be a very strategic thing to have removed Marina from the competition at that point. But, you know, gosh, the fallout from that afterwards from the fan base would have been catastrophic. And I think it would have, you know, potentially mired her success after the show. Although I don't think it's really damaged Blue that much for what she did to Miss Pangina.
Yeah, that's it.
We do love a gag.
Yeah, but, we've our anger has a very short attention span, I think. Like, we forget about these things and we're just like,
oh, absolutely. Me. You know, I have to say, I do feel like, you know, she, look, I'm stuttering and stumbling now in my words. I think that Scarlett did a fantastic job, but I do think that it was, you know, it was her time in the show, or at least that's how it was portrayed to us as viewers. I think that when, you know, as Hannah said tonight in the reunion, she knows that she hadn't done so well herself, but she's not going to send herself home. So she has to go like that. So that was it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I think it was a solid reasoning, to be honest. It was surprising to see how, you know, how upset they all were about it, because when you go on a program like that, you got to understand that people will be sending each other home. You signed up for that. So, you know, you got to roll with the punches and just be happy to be there. Happy to have that opportunity. That's what I think.
Some of them were pressed. Did you prefer this reunion format to the Tic Tac Lunch, etc.?
I quite like the reunions. I think they should just have their own episode, because back in the day, they used to be so fantastic. Like, who cannot forget that season? The season one reunion was just iconic. The season two reunion, you know.
Three, with the Heathers and all that. And Raja gives Stacey the necklace. Yeah.
Give them that moment. I think it's just, you know, more screen time. Yes, it costs more money in production and whatever, but like, it's just such great, you know, entertainment. And all of those queens that go on that show, they do such a great job of entertaining us week after week, you know, and giving us another week with them all chatting and, you know, the fur flying. It's good entertainment for us.
Yeah, it is for sure. I mean, I actually quite liked the substitution of the Tic Tac Lunch into the reunion into this episode, and I don't know, compared to the Americans, we know, you know, us here on the British Isles, the Brits and the Irish, you know, we are not as conflict comfortable, you know, where but I was surprised how much, like, some of these people really got into it. Like, Jumpers was raging. Jumpers came to fight, and I was kind of living for it.
Oh, she loves the drama. Maybe she was the drama this week, this season.
Yeah. Definitely this week. Like, her and Scarlett definitely looked like, you know, they were chewing on several wasps, I think, throughout the episode. But I have to say, of the three queens in light blue, Scarlett, Tia and Jumpers, I thought Jumpers looked the best.
Oh, and of the looks?
Yeah.
Yeah, gorgeous.
That's absolutely gorgeous.
And Michelle even commented on her, you know, her glow up in her fashion this time around. So that's always must be so nice to hear.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, what did you make of Pixie Polite getting dragged into the whole thing?
To be honest, I don't know what that story or that beef is. But I'm happy for Pixie, because it gives her some more television time and some more cultural relevance. And that's what we all want. Gotcha. And also, one of my interviews from DragCon, actually, the video with Pixie is the highest performing video that I've got on the YouTube channel. So, you know, any mentions of Pixie is great. So everyone keep watching that video.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Pixie and Tia are exes. And I know it was kind of brought up earlier in the season that, like, Jumpers and Pixie had a fight, or that they don't get on. But it seemed like a real left field. It's like, what? I can just imagine Pixie being at home watching, oh, well, I watched the fight, yeah. And then all of a sudden being like, why is my name in these girls' mouths? I don't understand it.
Right, I would love to be mentioned on TV like that, you know, whether it's good or bad, just to get a mention is good enough for me. So I'm sure Pixie was probably feeling the same at home.
We'll ask her next time we're at DragCon. We'll ask her how she felt about it.
See how much you get out of her.
Yeah. Whose look for the reunion did you like the most?
It's not so much remembering, it's just trying to figure out which one I like. To be honest,
I think my, because I was asked the question, I mean, I've prepared an answer. I absolutely adored Marina's bejeweled Turno. I thought like it was kind of like navy velvet, and it kind of turno, so it had like pointy shoulders, and it had like cut out at the back, which was kind of all the way down to her bum.
Oh yes, with her beautiful ass.
Yes,
it was gorgeous.
That's how you remember it, is the ass.
Yes, I'm very much somebody who appreciates a good bottom. So I think that, you know, yes, that was stunning. That was perfect.
I also appreciated Mayhem's look, which was like a nod to the black gloves that she used in her design challenge on season 10 that she won. I liked that reference.
Look at you picking that up.
That's why I host the podcast.
I must be just sitting there watching it, just like completely passive, just like not noticing anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, wow, that's great. It was to these gloves. I don't even remember these gloves. The gloves?
So in season 10, the first episode is a design challenge, and Mayhem Miller wins it by making a dress out of black plastic gloves. And then this look was like a couture version of that.
I'm gonna have to go watch it back.
Yeah, do. You can send me a message.
I will. I'm gonna have a look. But I definitely do remember Marina's ass.
Yeah, that you won't forget.
Showstopper.
I also loved La Grande Dame had a really gorgeous big red, almost like scarlet gown that was kind of attached to her arms and with several.
Oh yeah,
hooks
she's
and
just
stuff.
Gorgeous, so beautiful. Like, you know, it's, you know, and also just like, I know this isn't the question, but just thinking back about some of the runways that she had, that you know, the Jean-Paul Gaultier, and then also that beautiful. It looked like someone that works on the French trains, or like a police gendarme or something. Do you remember? And it was she really, really knows her references, and also such a lovely kind of on the nose nod to her Frenchness or perceptions around Frenchness. You know, I just love that. I think that that's great.
What, while you were sitting there passive watching the episode, I was doing some maths, right? I was curious to know, so 50k is on the line here, 50k in British sterling, and I wanted to know how much that was worth in each of the relevant countries. And then I
asked Alexa to do this, and she got so confused and kept telling me in American, I was losing my mind. What's the answer?
Okay, I'll tell you. You can tell Alexa to shove it in future. Okay, so, and I also wanted to, like, calculate this. I'm a fucking nerd, right? I wanted to calculate the purchasing power of this money, so I did it in pints, okay? So, so the UK, 50 grand. Apparently, do you want to guess what the average price of a pint is in the UK?
I would probably say now it's about £7.
Okay, so Mr. Google says £6. Maybe you're in London, maybe it's slightly more expensive. I don't know. £6. So, well, £5.90. So Tia is winning the equivalent of 8,475 pints with her money.
And she'll drink them, you know.
One by one.
I want one of them at least.
Okay, so if we translate the 50k into euro, La Grande Dame would have won 58,000 euro. Ooh. And the average price of a pint in France is 6 euro. So she would have won 9,700 pints. Hanaconda, 50k translates as 96 grand in Australia, which would turn out to be 16,000 pints, because it's $6 a pint in Australia. Whereas in the Philippines, 50k translates as 3.5 million Filipino pesos, and at a bargain of $2.90 for a pint, she would have won 1.2 million pints worth of money.
Wow.
I know.
So now we all want to be Marina's friend, right?
Yeah. Well, she didn't win the money, so I guess no pints on her. But yeah, interesting perspective. So she would have, if you win Drag Race Philippines, you win 3 million pesos. So she actually would have won more than if she'd won Philippines, having won the show.
She'd be like, suck on that one, precious Paula Nicole. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. If you enjoy currencies, I hope you enjoyed that piece of maths. But yeah,
I love that. That is exactly what I did. I had to turn the audio off on my TV, and I was like, Alexa, how much is 50,000 UK pounds in Australian dollars? And it was like, 50,000 US dollars. And I was just like, Alexa, Alexa, that's not what I'm asking. It was like going, it was going off like that for ages. It was a nightmare.
Yeah,
so I'm Alexa. So glad that you've managed to sort that out, because, you know, if me and you could both be sitting there tonight watching that show, questioning that same thing,
other
there
people
must
are
have been
as
other
well.
people as well asking the same question. And, you know, somebody said to me once, if you can think of something, somebody else has probably done it. So maybe someone out there has spent all of that money and bought 1.2 million pints in the Philippines.
Yeah, I mean, someone must have.
Maybe.
Were you happy with Arantxa being Miss Congeniality?
Oh, yes. Oh, Arantxa's so gorgeous. Like, such a lovely person. Like, it's so lovely to see somebody, you know. And I've been this for a lot of the people that go on All Stars or Versus the World, whatever. It's so nice to see them getting their flowers and then actually seeing someone
literally
get their
yeah.
actual flowers. That's, it's, you know, it's
and
so
then to
nice.
Watch someone get deflowered, it's the circle of life.
Now cut to Marina's ass. And everyone's going to be writing me off as like some kind of sexual predator or something now. Oh my gosh. Again.
But no, Arantxa, I mean, such a humble and like sweet soul. Like, even her saying, oh, why did you ask me? There's so much better queens from Spain. Blah, blah, blah. Like, what a sweetheart.
Oh, no, that's just, oh, she's just, you know, seems like such a lovely person. And that's what you want to see. You want to see good things happening to good people.
Exactly. Exactly.
And horrible things happening to horrible people.
That's a different show, but it's also important. Yeah.
Xtube.com. <Yeah. laughs>
Let's get on to the runway. So category was finale, eleganza, extravaganza. I love when we get to see all the queens, because they spent the money, at least let them show us their finale couture.
Absolutely, absolutely.
First up was Mayhem Miller. She gave us this really gorgeous African print with, I mean, I don't know any of this terminology, but there was a gold sort of metal jewellery. There was, I guess, like an upside down cone on her head. Again, I'm sure that says a proper name that I'm butchering. Really gorgeous print. Really well, like, proportioned. And she looked amazing in it.
Yes, absolutely. I thought it was gorgeous too. You know, it's, I think what's so nice as well is when performers bring their heritage to the runway and showcase it, because it's an opportunity for us as an audience to be educated and to understand, you know, where things come from, and I'll also get a kind of a little bit more of an understanding of who the performer is as well, because, you know, I suppose she never really showcased that in the past, I don't recall. So yeah, I thought it was beautiful. She looked stunning. And I was really kind of quite sad as well with what happened with Miss Mayhem on the season, because I was very much looking forward to getting to see more of her again.
And it was nice to see her humility when she had said, like, I'm glad that Gothy got to have more time and get to show who they are as a drag queen. And even
because
if
she understands the assignment. You've agreed to go on a TV show, and you know that part of the game is you have to send somebody home. She said it herself. Play the game. That's what you got to do. You got to take, you know, remove yourself from that. It's definitely not the same as a regular season. So, you know, unbunch those nicky-nacky news and get on.
I actually haven't been following Mayhem online to see whether she's been posting her looks each week. Because based on her finale look, I did have, like, fashion grief. That I thought, fashion FOMO, that I thought maybe we've missed loads of really nice looks from Mayhem. Okay, Arantxa is up next. She's in this plaid, pink and purple, sort of a cat suit. It's curvy, it's swervy, it's covered in bows, and these sort of like florets as well. It was really nice.
It was cute. Kind of felt a bit like a swashbuckling 1970s disco.
Yeah, there was definitely, because I think it was like flared at the bottom as well, so there's definitely a disco element to it. And, you know, I don't think she had, like, I guess, the most money at her disposal, I think, coming into this, but this looked great.
Yeah, I thought it should look cute.
Jumpers, then, the fashion clown, gave us fashion clown. It was LaCroix, she said, and Jean-Paul Gaultier as this sort of jester with a red sort of bejeweled nose that she put on and off her face with these black sort of like polka dot tights. Were you a fan of this?
I mean, I'm a fan of John Burns, but I don't know if I necessarily got the look. She's going to come around my house and kill me now.
She will. She'll come around my house too. I kind of agree. I much prefer what she wore for the reunion.
Yes, I agree. It spoke more finale eleganza to me than that particular look. But then I guess when you've been sent home, you're like, well, I'm going to show what I want. So who cares? So, you know, you got to get those looks on the runway, let those designers have their work seen and show off a little bit more of your personality. So I'm sure she had a strategy behind it.
I mean, I don't know anything about fashion, so I'm not really in a place to critique, but I'd love to know people who understand the what would Violet Chachki think of that? That's often what I think about it, and I don't know if she'd love it.
I don't even know. I think she would probably just destroy everybody.
Yeah, she would. And we would eat it all up. We would love it.
Yeah.
Kate Minaj then gave us Drag Slayer Princess, which was kind of a white bodycon dress, which was covered by these sort of skeletal details kind of all over. I think she did a really good job of this.
I thought that was beautiful as well. I really did think that was stunning. Kato is just such a fantastic artist as well. Like the finish and the vision that she had. I think that she had a really good showing on this season as well for as long as she had. That eleganza look was beautiful.
I did love it. I think she wore things that were nicer to it throughout the season, or at least like things that were more, I guess, like canonically Keita, in that like she's an evil villain queen, but I still did really like it.
Imagine if it was black, you know, then you would probably be getting your evil villainess tease. So you know, it's white, so she's trying to flip the
maybe the full evolution is that she's become holy and she's become a good queen right at the end.
Look at that. We love a good redemption story.
Yeah, I have to say, Gothy looked amazing in this mint green, like, corset. Like, it was like the virgin and the slut in you know, those tropes combined with the veils on the legs. And I thought she just looked amazing.
As soon as you touch mint, everyone's like, Dakota Schiffer, TM.
Yeah. Yeah, Dakota also found raging during this episode.
Yes.
Did you like Gothy's look?
I think she's very cute. I'm pleased for Gothy. It's nice that she got to, you know, come back and have her moment in the sun. And she seems like a very cute person. So I'm happy for her. And, you know, I think the gown was gorgeous. It's a beautiful color, you know, and very brave, I think, to wear anything green in front of Michelle.
Yeah, well, we'll get to Tia. But yeah, absolutely. I thought she looked great. And definitely like a brand of drag that not everyone would go for, like Gothy and Sminty, and that's probably it, who would go for that like real sort of sexy, slutty drag.
Yes, the House of Kendall.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Chorizo then gave us this kind of goth Beetlejuice makeup over these layers and layers of plush red tulle. This is the best Teresa's look, I think.
Oh, Teresa's so amazing. I love Teresa. She's such a wonderful person, so kind. And I think that really shone out in the season. And I think that it was a great moment for her. I know that I could see that she felt like she was $1 million, you know, when she walked down. And that must just be such a nice feeling. You know, she earned that and she deserves that.
I'm kind of surprised she didn't win Miss Congeniality.
Maybe she's not as nice as we think she is.
I don't know. I think she is as nice as we think she is. I guess maybe because Arantxa went home early and, you know, the queens were more generous. But I'd say it was a close battle between her, Arantxa, and Chorizo.
Well, you know, Chorizo wears her heart in her sleeve. And that's such a beautiful thing. She's such she's very much in touch with her emotions, isn't she? So I can easily see her looking out for everybody and you know, wanting everybody to do well. Maybe Arantxa wanted everybody to do better than her.
Yeah. Maybe. That's true. Whereas Teresa wanted everyone to do well, but not as well as her.
Yeah.
Now, Scarlett was next. Did you understand this look from Scarlett? It was like a bodycon dress that you can kind of see through it, but then with these like pearl bras.
Do you know, I think that the dress was a beautiful material. It looked like water falling off of her body. I loved how translucent it was. The only thing that I didn't get, and something that did make me chuckle, was the walk. I didn't know what she was doing with the walk on the runway, but I'm like, you better walk.
I mean, you've described the material really well in a way that I probably didn't understand, but yeah, it looked...
What, water? You've got water over there, haven't you?
I'm familiar. There is some water between us in the UK. I've heard of. I've never seen it. But I suppose like it flowing off her body. But I think maybe I was distracted by the walk as well, like because it seemed to be so restrictive on her that she couldn't fully move. But then she kind of like
kind of bending her legs in a way and pushing her back. I don't know, kind of like, you know, you'd gone and pulled the toggle bar to 100 on the character customization on Dragon's Dogma 2, and her back was fully back and her knees were bending. And do you know what? That's a gamer's reference there.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Dragon's Dogma 2 fans.
I don't know. I think that was the thing that was the most distracting. But, you know, if you look at the gown itself, I just thought it was just beautiful, you know, like at the bottom, the way that it moved. And I just wish that I had something like that, to be honest.
Okay, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it because I was so confused by it, and
you were not feeling it.
I was not living. I was dead.
You couldn't see yourself in that gown.
No. Maybe the pearl bra though. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh yeah, and the necklace.
And the necklace. Yes, I love the pearl.
When was the last time you wore a pearl necklace?
On my holidays.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah. That's where to do it. That's where you should wear it.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't wear it around the house.
Personally, I haven't had one for a long time.
Long time. If anyone would like to give Miss Taylor Trash a pearl necklace, please DM me.
Yes, hit me up. Slide in. It's open and sloppy.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's move on to the top four. Hannah Gondo was up first in this gorgeous tie-dye, vibrant dress. It was just so bright and colourful. There was pink hair. It was kind of garish, but like purposefully so that it was leaned into it. That it was just like a coat of many colours.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And it feels like it's very Hannah. She's, you know, a lot of her drag feels very out there, I think, when it comes to the colour palettes. I have to say, if I'm going to be like, you know, eye for critique or whatever, I kind of did wish that the hair color was slightly different, just to give us a little bit more contrast between the hair and that back piece that was almost like a kind of purpley color. I think it could have helped it and made it feel a little bit more cohesive. But I mean, look at me, I'm sat here like this. So who am I to, you know, who am I to critique? But it's just something that when I was watching it, as we all do, we all sit there and go, I wouldn't have worn that hair. I would have done blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I did think that. But overall, I love the dress. And, you know, it made me laugh. I want to know what material it's made out of. Because she was like, oh, I don't want to ever wear this material ever again. Do you know, when she walked into the workroom like that, she was all like, oh, my God. I want to know what the material is. What was that material? What is the material that Hannah Gondo will never wear again? This is the question.
Maybe these are the burning questions.
You know, if you do a social post, you could be like, post your response in the comments below and let us know what you think the material was.
Well, the listeners will be all over the place. We'll have pearl necklace requests. We'll have material speculations.
I'm just trying to build my wardrobe up for your podcast. That's what I'm doing. This is more of a cry for help than a
and the pearl necklace wasn't. Le Grand Dame was up next. She gave us this glittery silver gown with this titanium frame kind of to the right and to the back of it, kind of built around it. It was kind of magnetic to look at. I didn't really love the dress as much as I loved it, what she wore for the reunion. But again, it's like straight out of the mind of Le Grand Dame, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that, I know fashion inside and out, but I can tell, as somebody who has worked in design for many years and, you know, worked as a drag performer for 10 this year, believe it or not, that you can see that her drag just screams fashion. It looks like a concept that somebody has sketched and they pointed their magic wand at it and it's just jumped up out of the page and fell on her body, you know, and it does. It just falls on her. She's got such a beautiful frame. The way that the clothes just hang off of her, you know, she's very lucky. I need to probably starve myself for a few years to be able to have that effect. But yes, I think it just looked gorgeous and the way that it moved as well. Although I did think when I watched it, I wasn't sure if it was like a finale eleganza extravaganza.
I kind of agree. Compared to some of the other things she has worn, it doesn't feel like this is the best of the, or like this is the most finale of everything you've worn.
Yeah, I don't know what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting that. I don't know what I was expecting. I don't know. But I suppose that's what makes her such a unique individual, is that you don't know what to expect. And that's good. You know, there's a saying, you got to keep them on their toes to keep them on their backs.
I've not heard that expression.
And I made it up. You can hand back the shit out of that one.
I will. I'll emblazon that on the tote bag, no problem.
Keep it out. Just like, yeah. New merch.
Well, someone who keeps us all on our backs is Marina, because she is always turning looks. This time, she was giving us a Filipino sea queen with this like incredibly intricate coral headpiece, and then a gown with a split right down the center and these kind of like blue drops coming out of either side of the split. I mean, again, gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. But here I go again with my hot takes. I feel like, you know, that week, I can't remember how many weeks ago it was, but that week where she came out and she had done another traditionally inspired Filipina look, and it was all silver and just huge. That for me was a finale extravaganza eleganza. I was just like, that is what you should have worn for that runway. But it was such a beautiful full stop for the journey for her. It's very sophisticated look. The level of craftsmanship and the artistry involved in all of that, you know, the stoning and beading that goes into creating that beautiful headpiece. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I think I've really enjoyed seeing Marina Summers on the TV again, because I sit there and me and my partner, we watch every single last franchise of Drag Race going. And, you know, we love to see what different drag is like from across the world. She really is an exemplary example of drag excellence, and I have a sneaky suspicion that they probably didn't chuck a crown on her head this time because they want to have her back. And who would not want to have her back? They could have had her back for a winter season, but like, we, you know, we demand more of our fierce Filipina.
Yes. Well, let's put a pin in that conspiracy theory, because I am with you, but we've got one more look to discuss, and that is Tia in her adequate dress redemption. This with green corset, long green gloves, and this green feathers. What sort of feather would that be? Is that like a chicken feather? Is it ostrich feather?
Oh, no, it's not chicken. Ostrich. It looks like, I think it might have been ostrich, which means it would have been incredibly expensive. I want to say marabou, but I don't know. Here I go again.
I don't know much about my feathers. It did really give the illusion of Cookie Monster, or like those sort of like Jim Henman puppet.
Oh, the grout, the grout.
Yeah. It looked really good like that. This is definitely obviously an elevation from the original look, but it confused me that this is the look she decided to go for eleganza. I feel like Tia's had a weird run on the show, and that like a lot of her looks in the first three episodes were really, really good, and then the like second half wasn't as good. Like when they threw back to that Cherry Valentine look that she did, was absolutely gorgeous.
Oh.
She's had like a kind of, was it a Katniss Everdeen or something, one that she did as well, which was really, really nice. I'm just surprised this is the one that she was like, this is what I'm going to close.
And the
Saint
Sebastian look too was gorgeous.
Yeah.
So beautiful. Yeah, I mean, I feel like she wanted to make a point of that, because she got so much shit about that green dress. So she was like, I'm going to come back and show you how I would do it. I mean, I'm going to be real. It wasn't my favorite, but, you know, who cares what I think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the similar boat as well.
If she'd stuck a football on it, do you know what she could have looked like? AstroTurf. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
I mean, her For Queen and Country look was, again, like this kind of like bell-shaped, kind of almost like blue and purple tribal pattern, which was lovely as well. I don't know if this served the point that she thought it was serving. Okay.
She's in her own world and she has her own vision, and you know.
Yeah. Who am I to stand in the way of that? Joan Walzer looked great. Blue hydrangea. She was absolutely beat. That gorgeous blue dress and, you know, crown and scepter. She looked amazing. And then I also loved how shook and pissed off she was when she realized she didn't get a 50K.
That's what we were saying when we were sat there watching it. We're like, what is she going to say when they like reveal that she's, you know, that they've got £50,000? It's a shame they didn't tell her before, because when she came back, she could have been like, I've come for my £50,000, bitch.
Do you think her song, her duet with Rue, has more than 50,000 streams?
No.
Okay, hold on. Let me go and have a look. Okay, all right, we're being harsh. It has a half a million.
51,000 streams.
Half a million streams. 527,000 streams.
Okay. She must listen to it a lot.
It currently has 2,500 monthly listens. So I think she has a bit of time to go until the streaming numbers add up to 50K. But, you know, it's a long-term investment. Maybe it'll work for her. Okay, this is the meat and veg of the episode. This is the lip sync smackdown. Let's discuss your theory of them not getting a crown on Marina. I assume Marina was going to walk this because she's had kind of a winner's edit. She's by far the best lip syncer. I was like, this is going to go her way. When I started watching the lip sync with Hannah, I was like, Hannah's getting a lot of airtime. And to be fair, Hannah's doing a really good job. Like, those sunglasses as Anastasia were great. As soon as I got a whiff of that, I was like, they're setting. And I was like, if Marina goes home, Tia's going to win. And I was like, is this some like way to get Tia the win? So maybe it was to set Tia up for the win, or maybe it was to save Marina for a US season, or both. But that's what I kind of felt was up. And I don't like being so conspiratorial, because I don't want to say that Tia didn't deserve to win, because she's a really, really great queen. She's done really good all season. She's a full package. I personally don't love her lip sync style, but other than that, she deserved to win.
Well, I mean, she's not a lip syncer. She's a live vocalist. So, and you know, it's as somebody else who is a live vocalist, I think for me, I can't speak for Tia, but something that I always experience is like, I always feel like I cannot emote the feeling of the song unless I'm singing it. So I have a lot of respect for people that can do that with lip sync. It's something that I struggle with, and I think that potentially maybe it's something that Miss Tia does too. But I think she did a great job. But yes, you know, the thing for me as well is, if you look at like Hannah Conda and you look at Marina Summers, Marina Summers is very like fierce, drag, like shablam, like I'm going to cut you up. And I don't really think that Hannah is like that. Hannah very much to me embodies like a comedy queen. And I have to say, you know, everybody thinks that, oh, this person that can do the splits and whatever is going to slay the shit out of this. But I think that comedy queens can win lip syncs hands down, because you can't sell a personality by being sexy, but you can sell your personality and point of view with how you perceive the world and through your comedy and how you get other people to see it from your point of view. That's why when Hannah turned around and had a pair of glasses on, I died. I thought that, I was like, she's won it now, because it was just so good. And I'm not a fan of people lip syncing with a microphone. I just think it's a bit tacky.
I feel that's a real Australian trick, because I think Maxi Shields did it in the US, or say in Australia, down under as well. I think, or maybe that's.
But it's camp. It was great. It served the brief, you know, and I think that she deserved to win it in that case. If the song was like, I don't know, I can't even think of some kind of euphoria. Crazy fierce song. But it, you know what I mean? If it was some crazy fierce song like, oh, I'm a sexy bitch. I mean, Hannah would have made it comedy and she still would have stood a good chance, you know?
Oh, no, I totally hear you. And I think there are songs that lead themselves to campery and there's some songs that lead themselves to country, you know? What Marina's serving. And I think another part of the conspiracy is whether there was any choice in I'm Out of Love or whether those two queens were going to get I'm Out of Love regardless of which box they opened.
Those when people think about all that. Was it the same song in both boxes?
Naomi Smalls has ruined that for us. She exposed that that's what they did for her in All Stars 4. But I believe Hannah won the lip sync against Marina. I don't necessarily think that there was like a heavy edit to make us believe that she won it. I think sunglasses on, she had the references. It was camp, it was fun. And that song didn't have the highs and lows that Marina needed to kind of turn it into like a Dua Lipa song.
Absolutely. I agree with that. That's the power of comedy. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, 100%. And I actually, it is kind of refreshing because I do kind of feel sometimes in the US Drag Race, it's like you can just count who wins based on how many splits they've done.
It
isn't about actually embodying the song or giving it a personality or
absolutely connecting with the lyrics and emoting that and telling a story. Absolutely. It just depends what you see as entertaining, I guess. And I think that's sort of become, it's nice actually to see this transition that Drag Race seems to be making now with who it's given the plaudits to, because in the past it did seem to be very much about sort of like, oh, if you're flipping and flopping all over the place, you're winning. And if you're comedy and you're a bit out there and a bit weird, then you're not getting the, you know, the same kudos. But now it seems that performers are, you know, and it's good to see it because it's giving people their time to shine and you know, audiences go to shows and they expect to see stuff that they sing on Drag Race, and when they don't see that, some of them can leave disappointed and feel like you've not sold it, you know. But now hopefully, you know, all of us will see a benefit of that, the rise of the comedy queen.
I will say though, in the second lip sync to, again, I mean, hats off to the producers in this week's episode for the lip sync songs. I'm Out of Love, some Booty Love, and then obviously Kylie Minogue.
Yes, it was so cool.
It was very good. I preferred La Grande Dame in this lip sync because although Tia is obviously doing the comedy shtick, I really don't like the real literal interpretation of like the lyrics. That just annoys me and feels kind of tacky.
That's her comedy. That's kind of like, what does RuPaul call it? The nudge, nudge, wink, wink stuff. And it's on the nose and it's a bit dad.
It's, you know, very dad
humor.
Very
You're dad. Stuck with your uncle at the wedding reception and he's telling you jokes and he's had a few pints kind of thing. That's the Tia Coffee experience.
Yeah. I mean, like, compared to her, like, I think she gets the balance better when she's up against Hannah. But I think La Grande Dame just had better presence. Like that look that she had with all the feathers and stuff was amazing. And the reveal, like I personally think La Grande Dame won that one. Cause
it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you saying Tia won that lip sync?
I enjoyed Tia's comedy. I mean, I like La Grande Dame's physical comedy as well, but I just don't know. I mean, I'm biased.
Yeah. That's fair. And then I have to say there was a lot of lols. There was like the atmosphere in the room seemed great. Like normally these finales are very tense and stuff, but everyone was hooting and hollering.
They were, what kind of hooch were they all on? I was like, this feels like I've walked into someone's house party and I don't know any of the jokes or any of the people and everyone's having a good time.
I think that the truest thing anyone said in the episode was right after the Tia La Grande Dame lip sync. Arantxa says, what the fuck was that?
Yeah,
it's like, Arantxa, right. I'm with you.
Literally.
I hear you, girl. One thing we didn't mention, actually, is that Rue did the Marina, the slow turn of the head.
Yes.
I loved that. That was great.
It's gorgeous. I want to try that myself, you know.
You should.
I should. But I don't know if I can pull it off. I probably look like I'm gonna murder you. Do you want to? Should we try? Like,
let's try. Okay. I think that works. I think that works.
Do I look like I'm gonna murder you?
No, I don't think so. I think you're just trying to find like where you left your shoes.
They're probably behind this backpack.
Yeah. I think next at your next gig, you should try it out and see what the reaction is.
Oh, I should. Probably, I don't know if the brunch hands will get it, though.
Okay, finally, the final lip sync is Tia versus Hannah. And I loved the camaraderie in this. I love when they joined together for the selfie. But I really enjoyed the dab at the end.
Yes, well, it's become like her brand, her signature move.
Yes, it's the dab, a move from whatever, 5 years ago.
Well, they ran up the back. Her and Hannah both ran up the stage.
Ran up the back, dabbed.
It's so fun when they kind of like backstage before they do it. They go, let's do this together. Because it just makes it so much more fun. Because it is a performance. We're watching a performance at the same time. You know, Lip Sync for Your Life in itself is this performance. So, yes, I think it's great when they work together and do something with one another. Because it's just so entertaining. And it also takes off that edge of I'm coming to murder you. You know, it's kind of like we're both in this together. And I appreciate, as a team player, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think we as the audience are better for it. Your disco needs you, gorgeous Kylie song, like so good. Having Le Grand Dame there to do a bit of the French as well. It just felt like the whole atmosphere in that space was just so good.
Yeah, they were having a celebration. And that's so nice. I love it when you have those episodes where like RuPaul seems so happy and is just living and laughing and having a good time, because I feel
laughing
like
at the height difference between Hannah Conda and Tia Coffee.
Well, you know, yeah, she just kind of, I don't know, the longest time I felt like sometimes she felt like, it just felt like she wasn't enjoying herself as much in other seasons. And I love it when she's having fun, because it just makes it so much more fun for us to watch as an audience. You know, you're like, oh, it's just, it's great, you know? So if you hear that crazy laugh, you know that you've done a good job. And
yeah, oh, absolutely. So Tia Coffey is a winner. She is joining the winner's circle. She is now the queen of the mother tucking world. And I mean, I think that feels correct. I mean, Tia has always been like such a big name in the, you know, the Rue Girls of the UK. Like, she's kind of had the... Like, and you know, we've seen her at DragCon as well. She has like the popularity and the adoration from the fans as much as a winner, even if she didn't do as well as you know, didn't win. So, I mean, I think the position feels correct for her in the UK space.
Yeah, she's a great personality, and you know, she's also our first winner of color in the UK.
True. Yeah, that's true. So, I didn't think of it.
And what a great ambassador. But for members of our community to have her, like she's such a lovely person. She's dedicated so much of her time before the show to the community and uplifting others. And I've always admired her. And you know, we've had the pleasure of working together in the past. And she never has a bad word to say about anybody. She's very positive and jovial and funny. And that's the kind of energy that you want to see. You don't want to see this kind of backbite and stuff. And I mean, they mentioned that in this episode, didn't they? When they were talking about like, you know, it's a competition. And in America, we would have cut out the biggest competition and everyone here is like all nice enough. But I think that we, as a scene in the UK, the drag scene is, you know, for the majority, very nice. And everybody is, you know, out there and supportive and wanting to do good things for one another. And I think that having Tia as the person that is the queen of tucking mothers, it's a great place for her to be. She's another fine example of British drag excellence. There we go. Yeah.
100%. Would you like to see a UK versus the world season 3, or would you like, if you watch all the other franchises, would you like it to be Germany versus the world or Philippines versus the world? Like, where do you want to see this format go next?
I wouldn't mind seeing UK All-Stars. I think, and I think, you know, after seeing Spain do their All-Stars, they've proven that there is interest in that. I suppose UK versus the world or versus the world franchises are a great opportunity to give people from, you know, the for want of a better term, like smaller franchises, the opportunity to be seen on a larger scale. But yeah, I mean, God, Germany was a fantastic season. I'd love to see a Germany versus the world. That would, as you say, that would be so much fun. Like,
We also have Global All-Stars. I mean, I don't know if it's officially been announced, but we've got Global All-Stars coming this summer, more or
I've
less.
heard rumblings about this.
So I don't know what UK versus the world or the versus the world format looks like when you have Global All-Stars in the room. Based on the rumored cast online, you're only getting one queen per country. So it will feel slightly different, but I think it could still be good.
Who knows what they do? But I know this. Whatever they do, I will probably be watching
Yeah.
it.
They've done something wrong, I guess, if we're not watching.
Everyone goes, oh, if they do this, I'm not watching it. And then you see them in the pub and they're like, are you watching it? And I'm like, of course I
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, look, Miss Taylor Trash, thank you so much for joining me to get through this episode of the final episode of UK versus the World. Do you have anything coming up that you'd like people to get involved with or to follow more of your work?
so kind of you. Thank you so much. Well, believe it or not, because I know I look like an embryonic being, I'm turning 40 years old this year. And I'm thank you. Thank you so much. Someone else said that to me. They said, you know, we should be celebrating that queers have lived that long. And I was like, well, I'll take it. It's only 40 years, but I'll take it. But I'm having a big birthday party in Earth in Hackney on the 4th of May, and it is a Space Cowboys theme.
Nice.
It
May the
would have been,
fourth be with you, etc.
you got it there. You know, if it was on another date, it might have been pirate themes because I love pirates. But it's Space Cowboys, and I have Darien Lake from UK Season 6 and All Stars 8 coming over to perform. My good friend Kitty Scott Claus and my other good friend Electra Fence are performing. We have Oedipussy Rex, Don One, Dosa Cat, Brandy X, Frida Slaves. I'm forgetting everybody's names now, and everyone's going to kill me.
I mean, what a lineup. That sounds great.
Yes, all of these people who I love and who I adore and who are just, you know, fantastic, fantastic performers. They're going to be doing a number for me, and I have TQ on the decks and Vivian Bam Bam as well. And we're going to have a big old party, and I'm advertising the hell out of that on my Instagram right now. So if you're in London around May, you want to come and see some of these fantastic performers, please come on down, celebrate me being 40 years old and 10
And
years
stick
of
on a
drag.
Barbarella bra and go all space themed. Have a good
Oh,
time.
I have probably the most daring look I have ever pulled off in my entire
I
10
mean,
years. So if that is
book
not
Darien Lake, that's the main
reason
reason to
enough to
go.
come, she's putting the lick in galaxy. Do you know, like, I want people to lick me. The shoes were delivered today. I can walk in them, so it's all good.
Nice. Well, look. That sounds great. If I was in London, I'd be there. That sounds great.
Fly over.
Flyover. Get my
Flap
Ryanair
those
flapped.
arms or swim.
Yes, we yes, I will swim. I will swim. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for supporting the pod over here in the premium feed. It is really appreciated, and I've really enjoyed seeing people sign up over the course of the season. So it does not go unnoticed, and I really, really appreciate it. That's the end of this season. I'm not entirely sure what will come next because I'm at the behest of the Drag Race gods. I will most likely be covering International All Stars over on this feed as well, and we'll see what pops up between now and then. Have a lovely Easter, and I'll talk to you really soon.